This very special extrasode of Totes Recall is brought to you by an executive producer who stepped forward to make it happen. And that executive producer is Dermot Kelleher.
Yay.
Thank you, Dermot.
Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode of the Totes Recall. It would never exist. We would not have picked the film that we are about to dive into. And you're just going to have to wait to find out what it is. Stay tuned. And thanks so much, Dermot. We'll talk to you soon. No, that doesn't make sense. Thanks so much, Dermot.
Too late. Theme song.
Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we can't remember very well. Push pause on the recording. Watch the film in question, eating two pizzas and two salads. Thank you, patrons. Come back. Second half of the record, we have just watched the movie, and now we know a thing or two about it. My name is Dan.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie, this very special extrasode, is Waking Ned Devine.
Wow. Ooh. Can we just take a quick moment before we dive into this to give Dan the props that he deserves for maybe the most succinct intro of the podcast he's ever done?
Thank you very much.
Very good.
I'm getting better. We're almost to 10 years. Yeah. Maybe I'll do it right.
I feel like you got a straight line from A to B this time.
Yeah. And it was so modest. It only claimed we'd learn a couple of things in the second half, whereas typically
let's set the bar
we don't
low.
Know anything in the first.
Yeah.
And it's not really a half. That is what's really tricky, right?
Well, it's conceptually in halves, but maybe not time-wise.
Right.
Yeah, and there are two parts.
What is time? What does a half really mean?
Mm.
I'm sure we find out in Waking Ned Devine.
Waking
which
Ned did half.
Come on.
Nope. A movie
divide.
That...
Divide.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, good. All right.
By two.
Thank you, Beth.
Perfect.
I have not seen this, but I feel like I saw all the promotions for it pretty aggressively. And I feel like this was during that time when there were like certain movies that were going for Oscars that were more independent feeling, and this is one of them, maybe.
Yeah.
Does that seem right? Was this like a 90s?
Yeah.
Yes. I have only seen this if it's the movie I'm thinking about that in which a hill is very important.
I don't remember if there's an important hill.
Like a battle? Like there's Hamburger Hill.
No, it's judging from the GIF that Dan posted on our Discord, a text based chat platform. It reminded me of a movie in the countryside of Great Britain. Does that encapsulate everything without offending everyone?
Nope.
No.
What is it? The British Isles?
I have no idea.
There's a term that is
geographically
contained.
I have personally asked our executive producer of this episode the best way to say it, and he either gave me an answer that I have not absorbed properly or did not give me an answer that was satisfactory in any way.
Okay.
I think people usually say the UK and Ireland.
Okay.
Oh.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I am thinking of a movie that took place in the UK or Ireland.
Okay.
And the small country folk, and they had to go up a hill. Maybe it's The Man Who Went Up the Hill and Came Down the Other Side. Is that a movie?
I think so. I mean,
was it Jack and Jill?
No, that was an Adam Sandler
more of a
movie.
Hill-based movie.
Jack and Jill's an Adam Sandler vehicle where he plays his own sister.
Oh, the Beverly Hillbillies.
And Al Pacino wants a fucker.
Whoa, what?
That's all I know about the movie.
Hooah,
indeed.
Wow.
Has anyone actually seen this movie besides me?
I have seen it.
Okay, great.
I love it. It's great.
Does it?
But also, don't remember really what the plot is.
Is James Cromwell in it?
Is no
that who
idea.
It is that who's Ned Devine?
Oh, Pig, Babe in the City.
That's what I James keep thinking Cromwell? Of as Babe, which takes place not in UK or Ireland.
I mean, James Cromwell could be in the movie. I don't know. I haven't seen it in 20 years, more than 20 years.
Is he? I'm trying to think of that accent. Is he Irish in Babe? He's an English actor, right?
Is he?
He is, but I always thought it took place in Australia, but now that I'm saying that out loud.
Or this movie.
Babe.
I mean, it was directed by an Australian, if that helps.
That, you know, I will take any face saving. Oh,
is that George Miller?
Hell yeah, it is.
That's right.
The dude contains multitudes, that man.
But waking the divine, he's in a coma or asleep for a long period of time, and maybe he wakes up at his wake, maybe.
I mean, based on the title, Ned's probably sleeping.
I'm pretty sure that Ned is dead.
The eternal sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's having the wake for waking Ned Divine.
Yes.
Is it? Is there like two meanings?
Well, do you want to try to take a guess?
Yeah, it sounds like you should actually try to guess the plot of the movie.
Got it.
Like we
Dan, do you
want to
do a double Union Strong pre-call?
I would love to.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Go.
We open
Ned
on a hill.
Ned Divine is, on a hill and he's dead.
Oh, sad. Do we have flashbacks, though, when he was alive?
Oh, yeah. They're like, hey, Ned was all right, except when he was a real shithead.
Yeah, he was a curmudgeon, but also his heart had begun to open before he passed.
Yeah, they drink ales.
Ooh. Mm. Or
And the countryside's gorgeous.
Oh, really beautiful.
There's people who are mad.
There's family.
30 seconds.
And there's a dispute. Sheep.
Yeah. Someone's like, you got my sheep. I'll give it back.
And somebody takes a long walk to clear their head.
Yeah.
And it's Christmas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know.
Santa's there.
I'm trying to take a big swing.
They
10
wish
seconds.
For Ned to be back, and Santa resurrects him.
Wow. Like,
Jesus did.
No,
on
what?
Easter.
Okay, all right.
And
time,
then...
time.
I think that's just definitely already just out of the gate, 100% Utah.
For sure.
No notes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
especially
definitely
the
charming.
Santa Claus and the resurrection part.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Here's the one thing I mean, I remember the actual premise of the movie, but I'm not going to spoil it for you. But the one thing I remember about just like the overall cast of the movie is that there's a guy who smells bad because he works with livestock. Mm. And some of the other town members try to help him by getting him fruity soaps.
Oh, wow.
And it's just the way he says fruity soaps is delightful.
Did we even say, I feel pretty confident this takes place in Ireland?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I was only... vague about that before because I don't know if it's the same as the Hill movie, and maybe the Hill movie takes place on Great Britain.
You're just trying to cover your own ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
CYA, baby.
Yeah.
It's definitely in Ireland.
Yes.
I'm going to guess it came out in 94.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I'm going to guess
96.
97.
Well, I got to go 95 then.
Complete the run.
Got to do it.
Got to do it.
Required.
Required.
Is it too late for me to change my answer to the 90s?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. Now, does it is made in that year? Is it contemporary to its release time? Is it taking place in the 90s?
Oh, I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so. I feel like we have to spoil it a little bit in order to do the first half of the podcast.
All right.
That's fair.
Go ahead.
So here's what I think happens. If I remember it, Ned Divine is a man who lives in a small village in Ireland, and he dies, right?
So far, we've got this nailed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He dies.
I'm pretty sure.
Is that the opening scene? He's like.
I feel like they're at the pub together, and Ned's there, and then Ned goes home and then dies, and that's like this first scene or whatever. Right? Is that
wow. He definitely dies. I don't know when, like how early in the movie.
Yeah. And then he must get a lottery ticket, right?
Maybe. There's a lottery ticket?
Maybe.
Isn't that familiar?
Okay.
Oh,
I think he gets a lottery ticket, realizes that he's won the lottery and has a heart attack and dies.
And now everybody's trying to find that lottery ticket? They're no, like, they we got to wake up Ned Devine so we get that lotto money.
I think a friend finds the lottery ticket and he realizes, or in order to get the money, because the town is not doing well, right?
I believe so.
I might be mixing this up with another movie also, because I just watched another movie that was based in Ireland that was also like a small town or small village kind of feel.
I mean, that's a lot of movies in Ireland.
Yeah.
To be like set in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they, in order to get the money, they have to convince the lottery people that Ned is still alive, or they pretend to be Ned or something like that. That main
do
guy
they
does.
Weekend at Bernie's him at all? Like take his corpse around?
No.
And
I don't think
hijinks?
So. It's a much so. More, this is a much more like charming and the pleasance of life sort of comedy, not a like goofy LOL black comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I bet someone rides a bicycle down a country lane.
Nice.
And they stick their legs out to either side and go like, "Hoo-hoo!"
Nice.
Or something like that. And they're not wearing a helmet.
I would venture to guess it's a motorcycle and they're not wearing anything at all.
Whoa!
Nude moto.
Love it.
I believe that happens in this movie at some point.
This movie primarily centers around a couple of old men, and I remember them being delightful.
Yeah, this movie's incredibly charming.
Yes, that's all I remember mostly is like the two old men are pretty delightful. It's a charming film. Ned is dead. And I don't know, it's pretty out there.
Oh, it sounds pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Ireland, but I am interested in going.
Same.
I've all been. Right. No big
I've been.
Deal.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
Yeah, oh, wow. I had quite a time. I went to Sligo. I went to Dublin. Everybody goes to Dublin.
Sure.
But then I also went to Sligo. Have I told you the story?
No. I guess I was just remembering I did spend one night in the Dublin airport.
Nice.
Gosh, everyone's been to Ireland except for me.
Wow.
What a shame.
Okay, patrons, step it up.
Yeah.
Send
we're
Beth
going
to
on
Ireland.
Tour.
Send, oh, we're going on tour? Irish tour?
Yeah, we're all going there.
Love it.
Now.
After this podcast, our fandom in Ireland is going to be...
It's a exploding.
It's gonna skyrocket.
Yeah. So, national podcast.
So excited to see us struggle with the tiniest details about their country.
We can follow. We can like follow the tour bus the next time my brother-in-law's band goes there. Don't dox me.
Oh, fun!
Oh, wow!
That sounds cool. Yeah, I went to Sligo and it was incredibly beautiful, and I got to ride a horse among sheep and fall asleep in the grass. It was 100% incredible, except that there were some trials along the way.
Sure.
Wow. I'll save it. I'll save it for the second half. I'll feel it out. See if the whole story makes sense to tell.
When I was in Ireland, we drove across the country to see the famous Cliffs of Moher, I think is what they're called, that are these gorgeous geological, thank you. Geological formations on the western coast of the island. And when we got there, the fog was so thick, you could not even see the edge of the cliff from where they like rope it off. It was wild.
Wow.
So like on one level, it was impressive in its own way. But I was also like, oh, I really wanted to see those pretty cliffs.
Damn.
Oh, well.
Mm. I took a boat tour on Kauai in Hawaii, where we also saw some beautiful cliffs featured in the movie Jurassic Park, I believe.
Nice.
I ate way too much free food and got terribly seasick and barfed over the rail at sunset while everybody was taking romantic sunset pictures with their couples. If I can find the picture, I'll post it. But
there's a picture of you barfing?
No, it's like I pulled it together long enough to get a romantic sunset picture, but it's obvious I did not pull it together. My face is like, looks like I just spent the last 20 minutes barfing over the side of the boat.
Nice.
Yeah, but the cliffs look great.
Nice.
Wow.
Yep. Do we think this will pass back to Wallace?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say yes.
It might.
I feel like
seems
there's...
Like...
So go ahead, Dan.
It feels like a movie with a collection of characters.
Right.
Like a broad cast, and I mean that in more than one way.
Hey,
I
saw that coming.
And so there's got to be some women with this.
I mean, there's definitely a young woman and an old woman, and it's a pretty small town, so there's a good chance that they talk to each other in some scene of the movie.
Yeah,
but is it going to be about Ned?
Ooh, maybe. Yeah.
That's a good question.
It's a great question.
The whole thing.
I mean, they do talk about Ned
a lot,
but like, yeah, the whole deal is the whole village is working together to convince the people that Ned is still around.
And so they're going to use the money.
A lot of hijinks.
Revitalize the town.
I believe so. Right.
Yeah. I mean, or at least just like keep everybody in good shape for a while.
Is that I am describing the right movie, right?
Yes.
Okay, because I just watched another movie where it's like they have to convince, they're trying to get a doctor to stay in their town.
Mm-hmm.
And because the town doesn't have a doctor and they need a doctor in order for they're trying to get like a big company to build a factory in their town to create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, they need a doctor. So they're trying to like woo this doctor to stay in their town. And it's like almost the same plot, but like not even like half as good as that movie as Waking the Divine.
How are they trying to convince the doctor to stay in the town?
Well, the first thing they do is he loves cricket. And so like when he arrives, they're like all playing cricket, but they don't really know how to play cricket. So they're like, we just finished up our match.
Yeah.
And then, just like things like that.
Great. Keeping Dr. Keeping Ned Divine, MD. Check it out.
Yes, exactly.
Up the hill and back again.
I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, but you can see how I can confuse that movie with this movie.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there a specific thing they're going to spend the money on? Like, we got to keep the bingo hall open.
It's a great question.
Or it's just probably like, shit's rough. Everybody should get UBI.
That's a great question. I honestly don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Universal basic income.
I was wondering if I should specify, because at first I was like, my head went to a totally different. It doesn't
UTI?
Matter. Well, no, my brain wanted to go UTI, but instead it went IVF.
Oh.
In vitro fertilization.
Yep.
Hot topic. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Is it a hot topic?
Yeah.
Out in the world, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But this is about a charming movie in Ireland from the 90s, so we're not going to go there.
We're not talking about universal basic income or health care. Or can I just say, by the way, so as longtime fans will know, I enjoy the show Chicago Fire and Chicago Med.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Chicago Med is wild because it's just a fantasy where people's doctors really investigate their illnesses and want to know how to help them feel better. And sometimes their healthcare is covered.
Yeah.
No, it's just like,
nice.
Anyway, just speaking in terms of the UK and Ireland and places where, it's maybe you're not telling the doctors not to do any tests because you're afraid of the medical bill.
Right.
So maybe if you live in a place where healthcare is more readily accessible, maybe you have the freedom to create stories like where Ned Divine dies with a lottery ticket.
Oh, wow.
And nobody's worried about healthcare.
Oh, I thought you were
going to. I got there. Ireland. I brought it back.
I thought you were going to say, like, you have the time to concoct a scheme where an entire town pretends a man is still alive.
Yeah.
Because, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I've got my checkups.
I get preventative medicine.
Yeah.
Do they have
nationalized
healthcare in Ireland?
Dan, you'll be shocked to hear that the majority of countries in the world have at least somewhat subsidized healthcare, much better than ours. Or at least,
do that?
Not the I don't know. I guess because we're too, we love choice so much, you know?
Oh, okay. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Every time I go to the doctor, I'm just like, I'm so excited with all the choice that's presented to me whenever I go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And you know who else made a choice? The town of whatever, who decided we're going to pretend this guy is alive so that Mr. Lotto Man gives us the money.
Is there like a stuffy big city Lotto Man?
I don't think he's stuffy.
To the city and they got to like pull one over on him?
I mean, yes, but I don't think he's stuffy. I think he's just sort of like, he's just a professional guy.
I wish I could do an Irish accent in any way. Oh, I'm from the Lotto. Oh, I'm from the Lotto factory.
I've come
up in Dublin.
The Lotto factory?
Where we make the Lotto tickets.
Oh, okay, sure.
I've come to check on Ned Devine.
Oh, Mr. Lotto, it's me, Mr. Nedward Devine. Here to give you a tour of small town Ireland. I almost said USA.
The jig would really be up.
Small town USA, County Cork.
Oh, Cork. That's Irish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that where they are?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Here's something you might be surprised to learn about me and probably most Americans. I don't know anything about where things are in Ireland, except I kind of know where Dublin is.
Yep.
That's it.
I'm two-thirds the way through a very good book about the Troubles, which is obviously mostly about Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But I would recommend it. It's called Say Nothing.
Wow. Is it a bummer?
It's a real bummer. Yeah. I did not realize how big of a bummer the Troubles were.
Oh, yeah. They're a big bummer.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's trouble. I mean, trouble doesn't sound that bad, right?
I know. It's like, it really sounds like, oh, the Troubles. But yeah. No, it was bad.
But it was like Civil War and
Yeah.
Rough stuff. Anyway, like Margaret Thatcher sucks.
Southerners would call the Civil War like, sometimes they call it the War of Northern Aggression.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or the War.
There was a more polite term for it. I can't remember.
I think it was
they minimized it.
Between the states or something.
Yeah.
The was big like argument between the states. What was the argument about? Don't worry about it.
Yes, it's fine. Molly, how should we rate this movie?
Thank you. I think we should rate this movie. How many upward hills?
Oh, wow. A reference to maybe a movie is different. I love it. Upward hills. There's probably hills in this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Upward.
At least
hills.
One.
And if they get that lotto money, they'll be going up the hill, right?
They'll be rolling in hills of money.
Smooth sailing.
Being rich?
Where it gets confusing when people say it's all downhill from here.
Uh-huh.
Like it's one like, oh, right. Lordy, you're 40. It's all downhill from here. But also it's so easy when it's downhill.
That's true. It maybe, means both good and bad.
Maybe the idea with going, like when you say it's all downhill from here, I think the assumption is that you do not have complete control of your movement and you're going to just completely eat shit once you hit the bottom.
No.
That's how I interpret it.
Wow.
Yeah. But you're right. It is easier. Than going uphill. Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about upwards hills, which I'm assuming are hills that do not go down.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too hard.
Yeah.
It's not going down. It's a one way hill.
Yes.
Like an Escher painting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How many of those would you rate it?
Great, Dan. You first, as we all know.
Wow. Running up that hill. So one way trip. Okay.
Oh, here comes Vecna.
Yeah. Sorry. Good for her, by the way. I'm pretty sure she owns all of her own music and she got fucking bank off of that Stranger Things license.
Kate Bush?
Yeah.
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 That's great.
Apparently it was quite the negotiation.
To get it on Stranger Things or just for her to own her music?
To get it on Stranger Things.
Aha. Uh-huh.
She was quite resistant to the idea of licensing her music to a streaming show.
Nice.
Good that we've already said the name of. Anyway, Dan, how many upward hills are you going to run up?
I recall enjoying this movie a lot. I think I might enjoy it more now that I'm actually an adult person with adult feelings and thoughts and opinions about life. Because this movie is mostly about adults. Most of them very adult because they're like elderly. Yeah, I don't know. I think this movie's charming as hell, and I'm going to be bold, big man, Borscht Baggins.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'd say 5 upward
it's
hills.
It's been a while.
Whoa.
Wow. It's been a while since we've done a
been a while.
Big man Baggins.
I know.
Beth, you're second.
Yes. I feel like I have actually seen this fairly recently, like within the last 5 years.
Wow.
For sure. But that doesn't mean that I have the best memory of it. But I remember really liking it. So I am also going to be borscht bold and do 5.
Wow.
Wow. So bold. My name is Dan. I'm third. I probably have never seen it. It's probably a different movie.
Nice.
It seems like there's not a lot of hills based on this conversation. It seems like the hills are maybe not crucial. So probably haven't seen it. And I still, I hear it's charming. I don't know. I'm going to sit on coward hummock.
Uh-huh.
And to give it a 3.
Wow.
Nice.
Don't trust us, I guess.
Yeah, wow.
I'm doing my own research.
I go last, and that is not worrisome to me. This is Molly, and I am just so swept up in this enthusiasm, and I feel like Dermod would not have picked a film or executive produced and picked a film to torture us. So I'm going to be Beelbold, Baggins, Borscht, Beyond Betrothed, Bold.
Stretch it out. Oh.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I couldn't think of any others. We used to have a lot of them, right?
Yeah. And I was trying to come up with one Big that was like Irish related, and I couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, look forward to that in the second half. Anyway, I'm going to go 5.
Nice.
Wow.
5 upward hills.
Wow.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll do 5+ by the time this is over.
5+.
We probably won't.
We won't.
I know. I'm not
breaking
trying to
the
break
entire
the
infrastructure of the podcast. Good.
It's been
God.
10 years. It's time for a refresh.
Maybe a conversion rate is different.
Running up that hill.
That's true.
These are Irish ratings. So when you convert them back to American,
sure.
Leaders.
Still under 5.
Yeah. I see. No, that makes sense.
I don't know what money they use there.
Euros
they're, probably?
Yeah, Euros, yes.
Okay.
Because they were the smart island, decided to stay in the European Union.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, fuck the UK and the English, right?
Yeah. At least for this episode, baby.
That's right.
And with that, we're going to press pause, go watch Waking Ned Divine, and we'll be right back. Hello, listeners. You are at the midpoint of this very special extrasode that only exists because of Dermod Kelleher. Thank you, Dermod. We really appreciate your support of Totes Recall. And if that seems like something that's out of reach to you or other listeners, let me assure you that it is more affordable than you'd think to purchase 6 hours of your favorite podcaster's time. Okay, maybe not your favorite. I didn't mean to be so forward.
Let's go for it.
You know, amongst the luminaries that fill your podcast, like the Daily or whatever.
Or the garbage that your friends put out that you just listen to out of politeness.
No, that's fair. And you know what? I've never seen the Daily say we'll cover a topic based on your feedback, right?
No, I wish they would, honestly.
I wish. So anyway, that's where we have an edge. So please take advantage of this edge by going to totesrecall.com or to patreon.com/totesrecall. There's just the one.com per URL. And there you will see a tier, and it will give you all of the directions on how to take advantage of this. And in addition to getting a movie that you pick, there are also a lot of awesome things like an adult size milk glass. So glug glug from your friends at Totes Recall or patreon.com/totesrecall. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear the second half of this show. And we're back. We just watched 1 hour and 31 minutes of Irish music and beautiful countryside.
Hills.
Yeah. There were tons of hills.
I called
there were
hills.
A lot of hills. Yeah.
though I owe a giant, I'm sorry, to Dermot and the entire country of Ireland.
Okay.
And also Northern Ireland. I'm sorry. Because the movie I was thinking of about going up a hill is literally called An Englishman Who Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain.
Wow.
So
rough.
I'm sorry.
The title is so long.
It's a terrible title, and it's got Hugh Grant in it.
And it also has
Dungeons
a terrible
Hugh Grant.
Yes. Yes, Dungeons and Dragons is Hugh Grant. Wonka's Hugh Grant. Other movies, Hugh Grant. Yep. And for the purposes of this episode, if you recall... Oh, I still haven't seen that. I've heard it's the best movie of all time.
Great.
Remember, for this episode only, we are furious at the title of that movie.
Yes.
Yes.
We hate the man who is listed in the title.
Yeah. He goes up a hill, and why don't he stay there?
Yeah, and bring the Elgin marbles back to Greece, you garbage man. Shithead. This is the segment where I have very strong opinions about things the English did years before I was born.
Yeah, I learned in that book that I referenced in the first half that the potato famine, sure, there was something wrong with the potatoes, but like also England was still like, you got to keep exporting potatoes. Mm-hmm. So give us potatoes and you can just die from not having enough potatoes.
Wow. Yeah.
They're good at that, the English.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, what else is
Beth
a long title?
Oh. Yeah, Beth was going to say something, Molly.
Yeah, Molly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Beth. Go right ahead.
No, what I was going to say is the movie I was thinking of in the first half has somebody from the movie Paddington 2 in it, which is Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And the movie's called The Grand Seduction.
Ooh. And they're seducing the doctor?
They're seducing the doctor.
Oh, okay. Nice.
The Grand Seduction.
Perfect.
Anyway, if you want to see that movie,
check it out.
That's the title.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not this movie that we watched, is Waking Ned Devine.
Yes. And it's also not the movie I was thinking of, which was Babe. And it takes place in Australia.
Babe does?
It does.
Really?
No, it doesn't. Oh. I don't know. I'm still confused. I thought I had it. Hold on.
Well, maybe the city that he goes to in the second one is in Australia.
Well, he goes to Sydney. Yeah, he goes to a bunch of places.
Oh, really?
In the city? I thought he was in New York.
I thought he was just in one city.
It was filmed in Wales.
That's not Australia either.
New South Wales.
No, that's Australia, isn't it?
I don't know. No one will just tell me.
Maybe.
New South Wales.
Sounds Australian.
Yeah, that's one of the problems.
Hey,
wait.
Siri. Don't do it.
Where was Molly. Babe take place?
Where was Babe take place?
The story begins in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, yes. Okay. The Australia of the United States.
Well, you know what else is a long title is Waking Ned Devine.
Is it that long?
Well, it was kept that way in America, but it was shortened for international distributors to Waking Ned.
Oh, that explains some of my internet search.
Wait, wouldn't it have been lengthened for America then?
That's what you would think.
Why do Americans need the last name?
I think Americans are suggestible. So if you say the last name is Divine, they're like, oh, that must be fun.
Okay, no, hold on. I'm still in the weeds on this. So when they made the movie, they were like, we're calling this Waking Ned Devine.
Yes.
And then for most of the world, they're like, fuck it. We're going to slice off the last name.
Yes.
Why?
It's too long for European audiences.
How is that possible? There are French movies that are like a paragraph for titles.
Listen, I am not a producer of this movie.
Well,
I agree with you.
Breaking news on this episode.
Molly Chase did not produce.
I thought you were a producer on
19...
every film we watched.
Oh,
I thought that's why we did the show.
Yeah, aren't you our insider?
So in 1998, I would have been 2 years out of college. So then I immediately produced Waking Ned Devine.
Totally.
And I fought tooth and nail to keep the long version of the name, but I wasn't able to do it. I'm so sorry. Wow.
Speaking of things that are going long, the amount we're talking before we get to award-winning segment 60 Seconds.
That's an award-winning segue, though.
Yeah,
very good.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. The segment in which we summarize the movie we just watched, Waking Ned, parenthetical, divine depending on what country you're in.
Right.
In 60 seconds exactly. The traditional manner in this country is for me to volunteer.
Yes.
But it's an Irish movie, so has Molly ever done it?
I have.
What does that have to do with it being Irish?
Okay. I don't know.
Oh.
I was just trying to segue into suggesting someone else does it, but I'll do it. I'm happy.
Okay. That's okay. I can do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
Go.
We open on what you think is Ireland because of the music, but it's actually the Isle of Man. Mm. But that doesn't matter because it still takes place in a fictional place in Ireland. The main storyline is that Ned Devine has won a lottery ticket, but he has died. And so a town has to convince the lottery people that this guy Michael is actually Ned Devine, and they're going to divide up the money. And then there's two subplots. One is about the actual father
seconds.
And a courtship between a lady and two men, one who is a pig farmer and who is given fruity soaps. And the other subplot is about a priest and a little boy who have become friends. And then there's also a pub, and it's very popular. Anyway, the whole town is cahoots. They're about to be foiled by the witch when, through a series of mishaps, she is sent over a cliff and into
time,
her end.
Time. The priest, in fact.
Well, yeah, the priest. Yeah. That's true. Wow. Well, that was very good. Thank you.
You got even the subplots.
Sorry.
I know. I really wanted to do this one, honestly, because there's so little to it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? In terms of plot, like, it's big on charm.
Yeah.
Big on execution, short on plot.
I actually remember there being a lot more hijinks in the movie.
Mm.
But there's really only a few moments of hijinks.
There's nude motorcycle.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that is charming and iconic.
Do you mean by hijinks, do you mean specifically you thought there was more Michael pretending to be Ned hijinks?
Yeah, like moments where they had to
be
pretending.
Yeah.
But it was really only...
couple.
The two times or whatever, right? Yeah. Still very charming.
Pretty easy to scam the government.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I learned.
Well, I mean, if you're if there's only 52 people that you got to, 51 people plus a extra wild card that you got to convince for one guy.
Yeah. Surprisingly easy. Like, was that just 90s Ireland, both?
Well, and it was great they didn't need a photo ID at any time.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. That would have been a really easy way to confirm his identity. Instead, he's like, I'm going to talk to other people in the town to confirm that you are you.
Yeah. I mean, this is where we once again discuss how we are dummies. In 1990, whatever, was it common? Okay. Do we think it was
None
common?
Of us bet it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan.
In 1998, do you think it was commonplace to have a government ID with a photograph in rural Ireland?
Mm.
Like,
I have no idea.
None of them were necessarily like driving Class A vehicles across the country or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm city folk.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know nothing.
I'm American suburban folk. I had a photo ID in 1998. Is that true? Yeah, that's true.
I had a cell phone.
Wow, Braggy.
Wow.
If only...
In 98.
Cell.
Yeah. Damn. Wow.
I know. That's
2 years out of college making deals on your mobile phone?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
It was 96. Anyway, yeah, I was with PowerTel for a long time, and then they became another... You know what? It doesn't matter. Yep.
Are you?
Hey, this passed the Bechdel Wallace.
Hey.
It took a while, though. Yes. There was a couple, like, early on, we got Annie, who is Jackie's kind of our lead schemer.
Yeah.
And his wife is Annie, who's great, and
She's
I recognized
so great.
Her. she goes to talk to Mrs. Kennedy, and two scenes in a row, she says something to Mrs. Kennedy, and then cut to the next scene before Mrs. Kennedy can reply. And I was like, is this movie going to fail? What are we doing? Yeah. Say something, Mrs. Kennedy.
It was concerning.
You're on the edge of your seat the whole
really
time.
Close.
Yeah.
And there was only one marriageable woman in the entire village.
Yeah, man. It's an old town.
That was kind of wild.
Mags?
Yes.
Well, Kitty wanted to get up on Michael.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk about how charmingly horny many of our elderly leads were in this film. Kitty was down to flock with Michael O'Sullivan, horde. Like anytime she was, I love the way that we're introduced to that too, where she just like pokes her head out the window, just like, ooh, Michael, come in. I've been baking. Like just already in the seduction, you know, already in seduction mode. And then what does she say? She's like, he's like, oh, I'm just, you know, leaving some messages or whatever. And she's like, oh, is it a love note, Michael? I love Kitty. She's great.
And then she makes
has
a condition on the whole town is to sign off on we're going to scam the government or else they're not going to do it. And she has a condition, which is she has to have dinner with Michael.
Yeah. I guess that is like the dichotomy. We're presented a dichotomy of elderly women in a small town in Ireland. Is one person, their one condition is they get to go on a date with this sweet old man who also lives in town. And the other condition is give me $1 million or I'll destroy you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it the government or is the lottery the government?
I mean, it's
the national lottery.
It's the national lottery. So yes.
Okay. I was unsure.
Yeah. Like our local reference.
I don't know if that's also true here.
Local reference.
It's the state government though, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
I was trying to say that, but then Dan was too busy asking the question I was about to answer.
I see all their ads when I watch Timberwolves basketball. Local
That's
reference.
Right. Yes.
I'm in is this logo.
Is it really
I'm
now?
I'm in.
Oh,
I'm in.
No.
Oh,
I apostrophe
in?
MN.
Got
and
it.
It's like, I'm in, but it's I'm in.
I get
oh,
it.
Really?
That's, yeah, they don't say it that dumbly, but I'm trying to communicate the
how
spelling
dumb it is.
Over a verbal medium.
Thank you. Our listeners surely appreciate it.
Surely this local lottery reference.
Yes. Hey.
I've played the lottery and lost every single time.
Nice. Me too. If you, although there was a day in college where a couple of friends and I, we bought scratch-off tickets for the hell of it. Mm-hmm. And then I think it started where someone got $1 from the scratch-off ticket. So they're just like, okay, I'm just going to go buy another scratch-off ticket because that's hilarious. And then that one, I think, was like $3 or something like that. Wow, and we had like a decent enough streak going where at one point one of the guys I was with who was Catholic, he was like, hold on, drive me over to wherever Catholic house or whatever near campus. And he like took some holy water and like put it on his coin that he was using to scratch tickets. And he's now we can get another scratch up ticket. I think we ended up, I'm guessing we netted like, you know, at the end of the day, we probably netted like at most $1.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, yeah.
I think I've won $10.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think if you get two numbers or something, it's $10 or mm-hmm. something. Like, yeah. For the Powerball.
Okay, with the scratch off. Yeah. But you know what they say? Lottery's just a tax on hope.
Yeah, ooh, that's nice.
That's real.
My mother has said to me for years now, and she reminds me still to this day every once in a while, that she has made a deal with God that if she were to ever win the lottery, she would keep at most 10% of it for herself.
Mm. Like a reverse tithe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I guess
or
so.
An inverse tithe. Yeah.
Yeah. Negatithe.
Yeah. Speaking of God, we do have a priest in this movie that we've been talking about the whole time, Waking Ned Divine. Molly hinted at it. One of our subplots is young priest hangs out with little boy.
Yeah, is that...
That's a cool relationship.
Is that like...
Is it? Like, I don't... There's nothing nefarious going there in 2024 eyes. There's nothing going on there, but I didn't clock it as a subplot till you said that, Molly, and I was like, oh yeah, it is, but also it's boring.
But like, what is
That's
the plot,
my opinion.
Though?
They just walk around and like...
The plot is that the priest is kind of, he's a temporary priest because the regular priest is
somewhere.
Somewhere else. And so he's feeling unwelcomed by this village that's super close and tight knit. And so the kid is kind of his, like, the only person who's really, like, vibing with him, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so he introduces him to a seal, and it's
wonderful. Very cute. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen. I had no idea where that was going. He's just like, just stand here by the coast and I'll whistle. I'm just like, oh, the kid's just, you know, doing a weird kid thing. And then suddenly a fucking seal pops up.
It was so cool.
He's magical.
And then I forgot to mention, and this is so rare that I would miss something in a 60-second summary. But there's, like, towards the end, it's real heavy with plot twists.
Yes.
And one of them is that the whole time there's been this love triangle happening and this lack of clarity about who this kid's dad is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you think the mom is just being kind of coy. But it turns out the dad is Ned Devine.
The titular Ned Devine.
Yeah, who's 66.
Treated her better than any man before, she said.
Mm-hmm. And so must have fathered this child when he was like 60, around 60.
The kid's only 6?
Maybe 58. Well, maybe the kid's 8.
That kid's probably like 10.
He's riding shoulders.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, 10 is too big to fit on someone's shoulders.
Well, but he smokes, though, so his growth is stunted.
That's true. We do see him smoking down cigarillos or whatever.
Yeah, which Jackie...
And I'm like, that kid does not need $6 million. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he'd blow it all on cigars and booze.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike everybody in that town.
Yes. Hey, they'll blow it on booze and Mexican crisps. That's right. Finn likes.
Is that just what they call tortilla chips?
Great question. I have no idea. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, it would be,
That would make sense,
Mexican
right?
Chips?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was like a flavor, but no, it could just be tortilla chips. Man, we really should have had our executive producer on this episode so he could answer
these fascinating questions about his culture.
Yes, these incredibly important.
What do you call tortilla chips?
Hey, what's going on? What do you call tortilla chips over
Mexican
there?
Mexican crisps or something?
Hey, you guys have photo IDs or what? was the subplot with Morris just that this kid is a sweetie? Is that basically what the subplot was?
Oh, and I don't know. Maybe subplot is overselling it. It's just there wasn't a lot happening.
Like little vignettes, right?
Yeah.
Little vignettes.
I agree. They had more of sort of a separate arc than anybody else other than, you know, Pig Finn and Mags and whatever, like Brendy.
No, Brendy was her dad.
Oh.
Brendy?
Oh, I don't
Kelly?
Remember the...
Or is that the
actor? No, Jim Kelly was the Dublin lottery officer.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the kind of the
well-to-do guy.
The guy who's got a reputation with the ladies.
He's got a suit and he inherited a farm.
That's right.
That moment when he's like, and you're like your father and your father didn't try, you know, tried to sleep with my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. That rocks.
Wow.
Yep.
I like the fact that we were introduced to that guy who is apparently the only character whose name I don't remember, where he's just like, he makes some snide comment at the pub about how, like, you know, he smells better than Finn. And he's like this, you know, that he's like really knocks out these, whatever his cologne is wearing, really knocks out the ladies. And Michael just says something like, oh, and what women are you knocking out right now? Or something. And just like completely undercuts him. Yeah. As he and these two elderly men are literally the only people in that pub. It rocks.
Oh, I forgot that was even the same guy. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it might help to know that this concept for this movie was originally envisioned as a 10-minute short.
Oh.
Oh.
All right.
So I feel like they layered in some additional characters later.
Yeah, I mean, it probably it was probably 10 minutes of a dude who works with pigs whose lady love can't get close to him. And then they're like, we got to pad this out. And then they were like, wait, what if a guy died from getting the lottery ticket?
So, let's ditch all of that and just make a movie about a little boy who can whistle and a seal arrives.
Seriously.
I'd watch that too.
Watch that.
That kid is like a what are they called? I don't know. Steel See, whisperer. This is why we need our executive producer on call for this. Like, there's some specific mythical name? Creature that I'm trying to pull.
Oh.
That is, I don't know.
Siren?
No, something else. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm probably combining two of them anyways, because, again, I am a dummy when it comes to any of this.
Sure. The thing you weren't dumb about was you bet that there would be a Fruity Soaps line yeah, that charmed you.
Yes.
And the Fruity Soaps are there. The first time it happened. So Jackie and Michael are two main schemers. The first act maybe of the movie is them running yes. around trying to figure out who won the lottery. And yes. they keep having a guess and then trying to really compliment those. So they think it's Finn at first. So they give him a bunch of Fruity Soaps, buy him a pint, give him his Mexican crisps.
Yeah.
And when Jackie said Fruity Soaps, I was like, that's kind of funny, but that's not really it. But then when Finn lays the Fruity Soaps onto Mags, uh-huh. that was the line.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, Fruity Soaps was the line I remembered because it was the, like, a quoted line from, because I saw this movie because of my sister. And I realized as I was watching this movie that, like, oh, there were like two dozen lines that we would keep quoting to each other from this movie that I had completely forgotten about until the second they say them out loud. And then it was charming all over again.
Wow.
Like within the first 30 seconds, it was just like, get me apple tart. I was like, oh, yeah, we used to say that to each other all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene is pretty funny.
I love.
You don't know what's not Ned Devine at first.
Right.
You don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just like, oh, it's just that. It's just the first Irishman we've seen who's playing the lottery.
Jackie asked Annie,
yes.
to bring him his dessert.
Yes,
and she's like, you can get your own dessert.
Yeah, because she is a badass.
Yeah,
yes.
Love
so
Annie.
Then, as Fetch the yourself. Lottery number, as the lottery numbers are called, he pretends that they're like the numbers he has on the.
Can we all agree he does a great job?
Yeah.
With that
act? I thought he was going to win. But yeah. I was like, that's not Ned. They called
him
Jack.
And then when he was tearing up the ticket, I was like, what are you doing? That's a winning ticket.
Did we not win?
Because I was taken in.
And then he gets his dessert.
And then he gets slapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
I
suffer no fools.
Dessert and then his just dessert.
I love their relationship so much. Nice, Molly. Very nice.
Me too.
I was so... Like, all I remembered is there are two old men and somebody dies. I had clearly forgotten that one of the old men is married to the coolest lady in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Annie.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She suffered no fools, but she clearly still had a big heart.
She did. She, like, really brought me down at one point in the movie.
How so?
It went from, like, fun romp with naked men.
Yes.
On a motorcycle to her, like, really laying out the stakes, which I understand as a storytelling device. But as it was, I was like, wow, this is not very fun. Really, it was like a sad Irish music and her explaining how they're all going to go to jail.
Sure.
And would break poor Michael.
Yeah. I mean, which it would.
Yeah.
Like, Michael, so God sweet. Bless him. He was like a... I was trying to get a read on, like, what exactly I found so particularly uniquely charming about Michael specifically, and I figured out that it was, like, his mannerisms reminded me of, like, a cartoon bird character in a Disney movie,
bird.
Right?
Yes.
Like, maybe, like, not even one that talks, right?
Something.
Like, just like a sidekick animal.
Yeah.
Ugh. Love it.
I had big sidekick energy.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, you know, Jackie's clearly like just pushing. I mean, he does it with love, but he's clearly just like he takes up a lot of air in a room. Mm-hmm. That Jackie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Michael is our nude motorcycle rider. We
yes.
You bet there would be a nude motorcycle scene.
Mm-hmm.
That comes about.
About
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, please explain to the listeners why there's a nude old man in the motorcycle. That's
okay,
probably good
great.
Context.
It comes about Jackie and Michael are, you know, swimming in the ocean. In
like
the
old men
suits,
do.
Like old men do. When the man from the lottery comes in on his helicopter. I want to talk about that more
will.
Later. But comes in is like basically like, hey, do you know the way to town? And they don't clock who it is at first, and kind of Jackie, who was planning on being Ned, screws up and introduces himself, right? So Michael has to quickly get to Ned's house before they do.
So for Michael, who's never told a lie.
Yeah, who's a sweet old man, and he has no time to put clothes on, but he does get a helmet on and shoes.
Yeah, that was my question. Is like, so would he... Because I don't think... Did we see him put his shoes and socks on, or did he just start with shoes and socks when they were getting dressed after the swim?
Yeah. Who starts with shoes?
I mean, I guess it was like kind of a rocky shoreline, so maybe he's just like, oh, my feet. Mm. You know, so he wanted to get his shoes on.
Slip the shoes on to walk back to the...
Yeah.
But also explains why it was so difficult for him to get his pants back.
Certainly, yeah. But he put on his socks, too.
Yeah. So he rides back.
Put on the safety gear.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. But we get a pretty long scene of him riding a motorcycle nude. Unfortunately for all of us, I believe we were all disappointed that there was no frontal nudity from any of the men in the movie.
No, none.
Or any characters at all. We do see a lot of old man butt.
Yes.
There's a lot of butt.
Listen,
hey,
you take
we'll
what
take
you
can
get.
Can get it.
Exactly. We know what's going on the other side of that.
That's right, we do. He rides back nude, and then Jackie rides it back to get his papers, but he's got undies on.
I do appreciate that, like, a running gag of that part of the movie is just shirtless old men desperately riding a motorcycle.
They really let it, they stretch
they go
out.
For it. Yeah Like the visual of Jackie just like blasting back, it is like blasting back to Ned's house with just like all the papers just like shoved into his mouth while the wind blows his like gossamer hairs across his shoulders. I loved it.
Yeah, I want to talk about how the Lotto Man arrives in a helicopter. It really captured my imagination. Like, is that like, certainly he could drive there. I mean,
it'd take an hour or two.
It's an island.
Is it?
But it's an island.
They're on an island? I know it was filmed on the Isle of Man, but is the...
I'd assume that it's on an island, and so you can either fly in or take a ferry.
Oh.
I guess I don't know that
for
sure. There's
a lot of
boat
stuff. It's a fictitious town.
Sure.
But it was set on an island.
But where did Lady of the Suit come from then? Because she had his car waiting when he landed the helicopter.
Was she like the local lotto agent?
Yeah. But like if there's only 52 people in town.
Yeah. She meets him, like, gets off the helicopter,
and
like, here's your automobile.
I just assumed they were in like some county in the West, and they just happen to be, you know, like Jackie says, they're the only village like within that county. Actually, is it even called County West or something like that? When he's describing how it has to be one of the 52 people.
Oh,
in the...
right. It's a big space, but there aren't many people.
Yeah. So I just took it to mean that like it was on the other side of the island.
I am more intrigued by the idea of where he departed from on the helicopter. Was like, is there like a special like lotto
headquarters
with like confetti guns? And
listen,
like,
it's the national
lottery.
Business. Yeah, right.
You know, I have a former work acquaintance who worked for a long time at a casino.
Okay.
Where his job was to explain to people how much they won and get them to sign off on paperwork.
Sure. So it's a legit position.
It's a legit position, yeah. Mm. And so, you know, it was like one time, you know, there would be people come in from all over the world.
Right.
And sometimes their command of English wasn't amazing. And so he'd be trying to explain to someone, you just won $263,000.
Oh, yeah.
Here's how much the government is going to take away in taxes. Here's like, you know, like have to get these really, it's like 45 minute conversations with people and they're so excited.
Right.
And then he's got to be like, and then this is how much comes out for this and for this and for that.
Right.
But it's still some outrageous amount at the end.
Oh, sure.
But it seems like such a fun job. He also worked as a Oscar Mayer Wiener driver.
Nice. Wienermobile.
Wienermobile driver.
And
so
then
I'm just like,
would he stop from town to town and inform people how many hot dogs they won? Is that why he was given that job?
Exactly.
Oh, you've got experience giving people great news.
Yeah. I saw the Wienermobile at a gas stop.
Gas stop?
Wow. Gas station.
No, gas stop is fine.
Is it?
That's a thing we all say for sure.
Okay.
I saw it one time kind of in my neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
It was such an exciting moment.
Don't dox Beth.
No. Yeah.
Sure, that's all public record. The drive paths of the Wienermobile.
Yeah, there's a Twitter account that Oscar Mayer is trying to sue right now for tracking the Wienermobile. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of in my neighborhood.
Yes.
So gives you a lot of clues.
Yikes. Can we take a moment? What?
I was going to say, if we hadn't already talked about the nude motorcycle scene, this would be an award-winning segue of speaking of wieners.
Oh.
But we already did it, so... I mean, Beth, I guess edit that in there somehow so that this segue works for what we've already talked about. Yeah. It's infinite.
Just cut out dance track for the next couple of minutes to make up for it, but then splice it in earlier in the show. Yeah. Can we talk You are the Jackie to my Michael tonight. I swear to God.
Now, if we could just peek behind our curtains, we are recording remotely. So there
that is true.
Internet tube difficulties.
There is a delay. So let that be. But let us make it clear that we did not simply do it remotely because we do not respect our executive producer. We did it because we respect ourselves.
That's right.
And
respect all around.
Yeah. I just want to make it clear to our executive producer that we weren't like, oh, we don't have to get together for this. Like, it's not, you know, it's just Waking Ned Divine. It's just Dermot Kelleher. We don't have to all get together. No, there were our own reasons, Dermot.
Yeah, we have lives.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We're city folk.
That's
what's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
oh no.
I was feeling that I was reflecting on this movie. Hey, good art makes you think.
Yeah.
Of just like how nice and charming a country village this is. And my wife and I recently had a talk of like, why do we live in the city, especially with like all work is remote now?
Right.
It's not totally fair, but like mine is, right? And so much more is now. Like why cities? It's too busy.
I would love to live in a little village like that if everyone else was like people that I would like to be around.
Sure.
Like if it's like you and you're like, oh, I don't like anyone else here, that would be a major bummer.
If you're the Lizzie of the town and everybody hates you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you might be paired or that you'll become the Colin Farrell of friendship from Banshees of Inisherin, where your best friend in the village suddenly decides they don't want to talk to anymore.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Then things get wild. Check that movie out.
Real fast.
I haven't seen that one. I wanted to.
Oh, it's great.
But I was charmed by this film. Sorry, go ahead.
So I, last night, watched some television, no big deal.
Is it Chicago related?
And it was impossible. No, it wasn't. It was Impossible Houses.
What's that?
And it's basically just about placing or impossible builds, and it's... prefabricated homes that are built inside a factory and delivered in parts and assembled on sites that would be very difficult to build on otherwise. And that sounds fun and light, but because of my worldview, nothing is fun and light.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching this and they found this beautiful, unspoiled, boggy place in Scotland. And they're determined to build a house, and they've bought a plot of land for like £60,000 or something, but it's going to cost £300,000 to actually build on it. Anyway, it's all about this build, and that's fine, but it gets so creepy because these folks are from London, and they have a lot of money, and they're not even hiring anyone local to build this house. Mm. They're just having it delivered in part by helicopter and assembled. And the locals call it like the Black Coffin because it's like this modern build. And then just casually in the middle of the shoot, you know, they got all this beautiful drone footage. And they're just very casually like, oh, yes, during the great replacement of the Highland replacement era, when all the rich landowners like forcibly and sometimes like physical altercations forced farmers out of their homes so that they could make more money raising sheep. And all that remains of those original homes is like some stones from hearths and stuff.
They mentioned that in the show?
They mention it in the show and they're like, now there are immigrants of a different kind. These wealthy people. Oh, wow. And I was like, there is really, I don't, like, you don't think about gentrification being a problem in remote Scotland. Mm. And also, like, I was struggling with a phenomenon of how reality television makes me the meanest, most judgmental version of myself. Mm. Like, I feel like a pretty reasonable person most of the time, but the second someone flashes that someone is like a butterfly gardener as their regular job and they're spending $1 million on a house, I lose my mind.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there's more to these people's story, but it, I was thinking about that when I was watching Waking Ned Divine of like, here is this beautiful village and just try to picture somebody just like setting up a, mm-hmm. a modern prefab helicopter delivered home. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But we learn from the prophetic magic seal summoner boy that all that money will be spent in Tullymore. So it's fine.
At the pub.
But also, specifically, you know, probably some nice shirts, some smart slacks.
Oh, lots of soap. I guess there's a soap. Nearby.
Some delicious chickens with which to make a chicken dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No more pig farming. Finn's going to retire, apparently.
I mean, he'll probably just...
Career change?
Maybe he'll sell it to the ladyman, the lady killer guy who already owns a farm. Mm. Be like, hey, you want my pigs? Yeah. Dick!
They'll start taking up all buying all the farms and then
take
over all the industry in town.
Oh no. Finn becomes a villain.
Oh no. I don't know any pig farmers personally, but is that real? Like, can you actually like absorb the smell of pigs so much that like you can't get them out?
I mean, they do smell a lot.
Yeah.
I think there's some truth there.
But it's probably
there's
like...
There's a whiff of truth.
Yes.
Oh! Pretty whiff.
Nice.
Yeah, I wonder how much Finn could have just bathed more and like...
Well, he had those fruity soaps, though.
Yeah, he tried.
That's why I was like, really? After showering,
that's
he's still...
That's the thing. It would just be on the clothes, right?
Yeah.
Jackets and stuff.
Well, yeah, you'd have to get...
I don't think it's like a smoker or something.
Maybe.
But no, my cousins lived on a pig farm, and it was brutal because... school bus stopped in front of it and the kids were so mean about it. But it's like, it's just it was a nice pig farm too. And that's the thing too, is like, this was such an idyllic version of it.
Right.
There are such worse, like more horrible ways to raise livestock.
Yeah.
Especially pigs. So
yeah.
Anyway. Oh boy, who's the real Annie of this podcast?
Okay, you're the only one that feels like Annie was Debbie Downer. I thought Annie was Debbie, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She kept it grounded.
She was keeping it real. She was just reminding Jackie that as much confidence as he has in his schemes, his best friend, Michael, that he's roping into this, is a delicate little bird man.
Yeah, who always tells everybody to watch their head when they go out.
What
tall
a nice
doorways.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That leads me to my favorite scene in the movie, which is at Ned Devine's funeral. And Jackie gets up to do his eulogy.
Yep.
And that's the moment where the lottery man comes
LOL.
In. LOL. And he sees him walk in and then... The lottery man sneezes because he has hay fever, and everybody turns around and they're like, oh, shit, okay. And so instead, he does a eulogy for his friend, and it, like, I wasn't crying. It didn't make me cry.
It was so sweet. Oh, my God.
It's just so sweet, yeah. I love that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Michael O'Sullivan was crying. He was tearing up.
Yeah.
Oh, how could you not?
Yeah, it was like a buddy rom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a buddy romp slash Annie makes it real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Michael O'Sullivan. What a sweetie. And like, we don't know We don't know how long he's been a widow. Like, there's a couple of throwaway lines about it, but, like, I don't know. It probably hasn't been that long. A couple years, maybe? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, who's to say? Kid is ready, whatever he is.
Hell yeah, she is. God bless her.
We should talk about Lizzie, the villain of the film, as much as there is one.
The the village-proclaimed witch of Tullymore.
Yeah. She's the one that's going to spoil the plot unless they give her more money, and she's a grouch, and she's never wants to pay anybody for anything.
Yes.
Oh, that's what that haggling about the bread scene was about?
Yeah, and she like won't she wants her toaster fixed without paying for it.
She's a miser.
Yeah. That's fine. We can have an old crotchety who's mean. I sort of felt like, why give her a mobility device? It felt like we were somehow painting like the villain, and also she can't walk well. Isn't that also evil somehow?
Well, I think she could walk well.
Oh, well, that's true. She hoofed it after her battery died.
Yeah, her battery dies, and then she's walking. I mean, just fine from what I saw.
Yeah,
and not all disabilities are visible. I think it was more for the. I think it was like a mirror to the motorcycle. Mm. Also, remember when the little the Rascals had just come out? I don't mean the band.
Oh, those mobility scooters.
The mobility, yeah. That when they first came out, they were it was like such a more fun way to get around.
Certainly.
You know?
Certainly is.
To me, it mirrored the Wicked Witch in Wizard of Oz on the bicycle.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That's what it made me think
of. Interesting.
But I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
Sure.
I can see that. Yeah. There was some amount, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. There's some amount of like equating disability with villainous.
I mean, it's a valid criticism because she's the only one of all of the elderly folk that we meet in the movie. She appears to be the only one that has any kind of disability or lack of, I don't know, physical agency. The rest of them are spry young people because their hearts are pure.
Yeah.
But, or something. I don't know.
Regardless of that, she still sucks.
She does suck. I mean, like, for
that's
sure.
clear for the movie. And she gets what she deserves? Question mark.
Yeah, I had completely forgotten. Yeah, I'd completely forgotten that, like, the solution to their final obstacle was her dying in a freak accident.
By the priest.
By the priest. That's, to me, what makes it like the divine intervention,
I agree.
Right?
No, I agree. I think that was...
Because it's not the Lotto Man that actually does it, right? It's a series of events. It's a sneeze. Yes. It's triggered by a sneeze.
Yes.
So I think it's ordained.
Would you say, Molly, that Jesus took the wheel?
Oh... No, but, you know, I could imagine Lizzie just being called home.
Sure.
A little early.
Yeah. I mean, it's also possible, like, we don't, you know, like, there might be a scene they cut out of her just, like, comically, like, breaking out of the phone booth, covered in dust, just going, like, and then, like, getting pooped on by a bird.
Oh, I have amnesia. Now I'm kind.
Yes. Achieves her true form and wings sprout from her back.
And she goes off to England to reign in terror.
That's right. She probably was English now that we're talking
about
her.
Oh, sure.
Now I hate her.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was very... Like, I did appreciate... Because I always joke about, like, especially... Like, Banshees of Inisherin, when that came out, like, I said that, like, it was another great entry into the apparent genre of, like, Irish movies that are beautiful but also incredibly sad. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that maybe that's just something that like it can't get away. Like you can't get away from it. If you're setting a movie in Ireland, like some part of you is like, we got to do something kind of dark. And
like, well, funny you should make that comment, Dan, because we have from Dearmuth himself, his reason.
Executive producer, Dearmuth Kelleher.
Executive, yes. Which I will share now.
Thank you.
He said, I chose to force you to watch this movie because I wanted to pick an Irish movie, and this is a rare example of one that is not totally depressing.
Indeed.
I first saw this in cinema for a friend's birthday party when I was in primary school, and having rewatched with friends and family over a dozen times since then. Having grown up in rural Ireland, this movie gives a good representation of rural community life in the 90s, despite the occasional overly twee moment and bonkers plotline. I love introducing this movie to friends who haven't seen it before, or reintroducing it to those who have, and I'm greatly looking forward to it receiving the Totes Recall treatment. And if there are excellent or questionable attempts at Irish accents, all the better. We probably had both.
Oh,
I mean, mostly.
Mostly
excellent.
Very
excellent.
Sure, of course. Sorry.
Lash it, boys.
I love that. That fiddler fucking ruled. Like,
yeah, that was awesome.
He kept popping up in like random scenes, and I feel like, but not until like the last act of the movie. I just felt like I even had the thought of like, wow, the camera keeps lingering on this dude with the eyebrows, and then finally I get to the pub. It's like, oh, this dude shreds. Like, that's why we need to know who he was, because he fucking rules.
Yep.
Yeah, and did he? Okay, question. Do you think that he used Irish fiddle magic to kill Lizzie, and that's why the string broke as soon as the phone booth launched?
Broke, she died?
That was. Quickly, just thank you, Dermid, for that explanation.
Yes.
Glad this is accurate. So that answers some of our questions about Chris and photo ID, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, to Dan's point, we have the scene of like Lizzie is walking to the phone booth to ruin the day, and everybody's celebrating with awesome fiddle and drum music.
Hell yeah.
And they're going like back to back, and the tension is increasing. Great, effective scene. But then, yeah, as the hand of God reaches down and destroys Lizzie.
Yes, smites.
Over the cliff.
Smites please. Yeah,
the fiddler reaches his climax as well. And
yes.
Okay.
What?
Molly.
There is also another kind of godlike moment. There's a moment where Ned Devine has passed and he's holding his lottery ticket.
Yes.
And Jackie. Jackie, as he takes the lottery ticket from his friend, it is like almost an exact David. It kind of has the hand of God kind of feel to it.
Totally.
So, yeah. So that's why it is Ned Devine. I'm just saying.
Yep.
I really enjoyed Jackie's visit from Ned Devine's spirit in the form of just him housing a plate of chicken on a boat. Like, that was such a like amazingly perfect, like, two old dude friends dream, right? Like, that's how he comes to visit his good friend. He's just like, oh, this chicken is great, do you want some? And that's like the extent of their conversation, basically.
Yeah. And they're in a boat.
Yeah but he offers to share the chicken dinner, and that inspires Jackie to share the winnings. But initially, he was going to share them only with his friend, Michael O'Sullivan.
Oh, wow.
But then when it is shared to Michael that he, in fact, won 6 million something pounds, they are... I was doing a dumb bit, but now that I've said that out loud, I'm thinking about it. I did appreciate the fact that, like... I don't know. I liked that they were very just like, I don't know, just like grounded people. Where like when they found out it was that much money, like they were immediately like, I like the fact that like these two old dudes who live in a tiny town, like, were believable enough human beings where they were like, there's no reason for us to have that much money. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was such a charming response to learning the number of the lottery winnings, which is not something certain elderly men in certain countries might have that response.
Oh, yeah. If it were grumpy old men.
Oof. Mm. They'd try to stab the other one with a frozen fish. Right? Am I right? Reference?
I've actually never seen that movie.
Well, if you had seen the movie, that is a local reference and also a great reference to that movie. So, you're welcome.
They win money in Grumpy Old Men?
No, he tries to stab the other one with a frozen fish.
Yeah, but not because money, because love.
No,
right?
Because horny.
Fair enough.
God.
Because horny.
God.
I wasn't quite sure. I didn't know if there was a because there's a sequel too.
Grumpier second old man.
Grumpier old man.
Well, no,
I don't know if
I
there's
was
lottery
just saying,
aspect to it.
Well, maybe there is. I don't know.
Well, I guess we should watch
that,
it.
That the example of wonderful friendship between two older men in Ireland is potentially Waking Ned Divine's Jackie and Michael. And in the U.S., it's grumpy old men who are killing each other over a fish.
No, over a woman.
Mm. Over a woman with a fish. Yeah. The woman doesn't have the fish. They have the fish.
The biggest.
And they're killing each other.
The greatest catch of all, Molly. When you put your line out there. A sexy lady.
That's right.
Who is relatively age appropriate, I think. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Me neither. I have seen it, though.
Yeah, me too. No. Okay.
I can only hope someone will executive produce.
Yeah, we're not going to pick that out around.
Okay, real quick. Can we just take a moment to appreciate the fact that the until they actually have a winning lottery ticket in hand, the foundation of Jackie's schemes mostly just involve feeding people, right? Single one of their schemes is like, oh, we'll just go to the pub and get him a pint and some crisps, or like, Annie brings Mrs. Kennedy a meat pie.
Yeah. Mm.
That they just happen to not finish at home.
That's right.
And then they just invite a bunch of people to a chicken dinner. And I love when we finally see the invitation when he picks it up at Netta's, where it just over the top, it's just written chicken dinner. And then there's a little note. But then on the bottom, it also reemphasizes it's a chicken dinner. They are pulling out all the stops for this.
Is that the fanciest dinner? I feel like I'm missing something around the phrase chicken dinner. Does that mean than just chicken for dinner?
Winner, winner?
Well, I mean, the fact that they are all recently unalived chickens would suggest that those are somebody's local chickens.
Okay.
So, you are taking the time to presumably spend a decent amount of money to whoever owns those chickens and then getting rid of a lot of available chickens at once. So the fact that you're having a chicken dinner with multiple people seems
having people over for dinner and it's not chicken dinner, what are we serving?
I'm pretty sure. And
Borscht, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that if Diarmuid were on the call, he would say potatoes, and I would not be sure if he was kidding or not.
Okay.
Mm.
So
let's add that to our list of follow-up
questions.
Photo IDs.
Yes.
What's the deal with chicken
crisps?
Diarmuid, I know you're paying us to do this, but here's some homework for you. And then you need to call us at our number and leave us a voicemail. What is a Mexican crisp? What are their photo IDs in the 90s? Is chicken dinner the fanciest dinner? And is potatoes the regular dinner? Were there any more?
I think that's about it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Wow.
Well, before we get to our final reviews of the movie we just watched, Waking Ned Divine, we like to engage with our fans on Discord, a certain text-based chat platform. Put out the call.
Patreon.com/HotsRecall.com. Mm-hmm.
And we put out the call and we got one comment, and here it is.
Nice.
Joshy says, can't recall if there is flaccid dong, but the geriatric nudity in this film is absolutely heartwarming.
Hell yes, brother. Hell yes, brother.
It sure is. Yeah. They just, these two of them are very comfortable with each other's bodies. Yeah. Ugh.
What?
I just hate that. I hate the term hanging brain. Oh. It's so gross.
Well, if you love the concept, I would recommend Bo is Afraid, a movie I just watched where Joaquin Phoenix hangs brain hard.
Oh, really?
What is that?
Interesting.
His balls
interesting.
Are out. You see his balls. And they're huge. And that's an important plot point.
It is? Yeah. Oh, I need to watch this movie now.
The movie broke my brain. I want to talk about it all the time.
All right. Challenge
Molly
accepted.
Beth, you would absolutely hate it. So Dan and I will talk about it later, apparently.
Great.
So thank you, Joshy. I agree. Geriatric nudity is heartwarming.
Yes.
Yeah, it was delightful. Yeah.
I have a question for this group.
Okay.
How many of you have seen a close friend naked?
Me.
Not
you?
Yes, me.
Yes, you. I have.
I mean,
and I was thinking it was so weird when it happened that I was like, how has this never happened?
Sure.
I mean, just in the...
It seems like it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah,
but...
not as an adult.
Okay.
I just saw a movie this weekend and like there were men just like going to the, I don't know what
sauna?
It was. Like the, yeah,
the bathhouse.
Essentially. Yeah, the bathhouse. They were, I mean, they were literally going to take baths.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, yep, we're just going to hang out together naked.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, it's very uncommon in the U.S.
I was going to say the context that first came to my mind was when I lived in Japan for a couple of years. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Hot baths are common there. And you just go and hang with the boys.
Yep.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. You got that right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I grew up Protestant in Minnesota, so I don't think so.
So I guess the other stance of this podcast is more platonic nudity.
Yeah, why not? Consensual.
Of course. Enthusiastically consent to get nude with your friends.
Consensual platonic nudity. And we should make it clear that in entering a locker room of any sort of athletic center where men of a certain age also attend, that kind of counts as consent because it's going to happen. And you have to accept that.
That was a little rough as a college kid, a young college kid, to realize that the old college professors were just going to sauna fully nude and you were going to just see your professors hang brain.
Do you think we will just hit a threshold in our aging where we will just wake up one day and be like, yeah, I could just be nude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it seems like a switch goes off.
Yeah, because you just don't care anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, who cares? This body's already dying.
Yeah, it's probably sadly connected to like how much you feel perceived as like an attractive sexual object.
Why did you have to ruin it?
Sorry, Molly started it when she talked about HGTV being bad. Well,
what were we talking about? Oh, we have a review.
Yes, we have a review for our own podcast.
Wow.
Before we get to our reviews of that movie.
That's fine.
It feels required to do it in a
Irish
excellent
accent.
Or questionable attempt at an Irish accent.
I agree.
I just don't even...
You can send it to me if you want me to do it.
Okay. Plus, you made me do an Australian accent on the last
That's
time.
True. That is true. We got to distribute the burden a little bit.
Okay. It's sent. Oh. It's on Podchaser.
Ooh.
Thank you, Podchaser.
Okay. This is a 5-star review from Liam Justice. Hell yes.
Hell yeah.
The Wizard of Oz, episode 58, is one of their best.
Is that it?
That's it. Oh,
yep.
God, no punctuation, nothing. The Wizard of Oz, episode 58, is one of their best.
I feel like we all got to do it that short.
Yeah, right.
The Wizard of Oz, episode 58, is one of their best.
Oh, it's me, Liam Justice. I'm just going to take a wee moment to write a 5-star review for my favorite podcast, Totes Recall.
Hey, Liam Justice, just checking in after chicken dinner. Oh, I watched The Wizard of Oz. It's one of their best, episode 58.
I was hanging me brains in the sauna.
No.
Listening to my favorite podcast, Totes Recall. They did the episode about The Wizard of Oz, a classic film in which a lion is too stupid to realize that he can just be a normal person and it's fine that he doesn't have a weird ceramic heart clock or whatever.
Oh, it's me, Liam Justice. I love when they play a Chuck Fuck Mary on the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah. Liam Justice here. Just wanted to remind you that the Tin Man is the sexual peak of any fictional character in all of film. I'd love to sauna with the Tin Man. Who knows what shiny chrome testicles he has to offer?
Oh, no.
Rusty.
This is for Dearman. Yeah, Molly, you're right. They would be rusted.
Tin roof. Right? What? Is that something?
B-52's song.
Is it about Pang and Brain?
Tin Roof Rusted's about menstruation, if I remember right.
Really?
Tin Roof Rusted? No.
Really? Well, that's what someone told me.
I don't.
Who?
That sounds like something someone in college would tell you.
Yeah, your nude professor, probably.
Hey, get in here. Get in the sauna. I got something to tell you.
Hey, you know that B-52 song? Wow.
Well, you're welcome. If you would like your review read in the style of the movie we just watched,
yes,
leave it. Podchaser apparently has got reviews. Leave them there.
Yeah. There may be a character limit on Podchaser. We don't know, but...
Yeah. But always welcome on Apple Podcasts. Is that what it's called now and has been for years?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great.
Where else can you review a podcast?
I'm just thinking, is that the extent of our...
You can do a review it on Spotify or...
I think
you can
so.
Leave a review, but you cannot write a review. So
what?
you can say like 5 stars, but you can't. There's
you can
no like
rate, but you can't review.
Yes,
I see.
Oh, should we? Do we see anybody's names next to that? We just see
no. Hmm. Just
but feel free to rate us higher on Spotify, please.
Yeah, we'll take
and then
it.
Absolutely. Email.
Oh, Liam Justice here, just taking a nude motorcycle ride over to Spotify to slap a few stars over on totesrecall.com, the podcast that I love so much.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, we should have read that review way earlier. This would have been me the entire podcast.
Liam Justice, great Irish hero.
Yes.
Upward hills is our rating scale.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
They do go up a hill near the end. We're getting tired at the very end, going up the hill.
Well,
to
Jackie
celebrate Ned.
Yeah, and Jackie uses the hills to his advantage to delay Jim the Lotto Man to give Michael more nude bike riding time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Michael Moore nude.
I thought you
it's
said
a gift to us all.
And you said Michael Moore.
Michael Moore nude.
Like, the director.
Michael Moore nude. Yeah. Why not? Listen, no, I don't know. All dongs are welcome is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Enthusiastically consent to platonic nudity.
Flaccid dongs in movies.
2024.
And life. This rules. This is exactly what David's paying for. This is what he wanted. Read between the lines.
All right,
okay.
Upward Hills.
Yes.
Needs no explanation. Dan, you gave it 5, thinking it would be charming. You were being Beelbold, Big Man, Blair Witch, Beth's Beyond Betrothed, Borscht Baggins about it.
Uh-huh.
As an adult, you thought you might like it even more.
Ah, yes. Five Upward Hills for the charming Waking Dead Divine. Beelbold. Nothing makes me feel more alive than being Beelbold, Borscht Man, Beth's Beyond Betrothed, Baggins, Brain that's hanging.
Oh, no.
I had forgotten how much I had, like, I'd forgotten how much this movie was consumed in my home. Like, clearly my sister and I must have watched it multiple times because, like, there were so many lines that I remembered as they happened. Like, oh yeah, we used to just say that aloud for fun. Delightful characters. I loved everyone in the village. I was charmed. I don't know. I was charmed. I loved Jackie and Annie's relationship. I loved Michael the bird. I loved Kitty the horn dog. It was great. What a joy. 5 upwards. What is it? Upward Hills.
Upward Hills.
Five Upward Hills, just like the 5-leaf clover that brings me the greatest luck when I'm nudely riding my penny farthing across
the great hills of Ireland.
The great Upward Hills of
the
Ireland.
Emerald Isle.
Let me ride my solar-powered race car while my flaccid penis flaps in the wind.
In Australia? That's where they do the solar race car race?
Yeah, probably. They probably don't get enough sun in Ireland. Who are we kidding?
Yep. Beth, you give it 5. So in 5.
What?
What?
That's what my note says. So N in five.
So N in five?
So N. S-O-E-N. You know, the word we all know, so in.
Yeah.
In five.
Yeah, so in five.
Okay.
I agree with my previous self. I thought that movie was delightful. I like that it is simple and still enjoying. Mm-hmm. Yep, and still enjoying.
Yes.
So in five.
Excellent. I am third. I just wrote coward next to my line.
As you always do.
As you always do.
Every day. First thing in the morning, last thing at night.
You write down coward and look at it and tell yourself this is you.
Someday I'll take off my clothes next to my best friend.
That's right. That's what it's referring to. That's what the coward refers to. So let that be a lesson to you, listeners who know Dan. If you one day find yourself nude next to him, you won.
That's right.
You're the best.
You won the
You're
lotto.
The best friend.
You won the friend lottery.
That's
which
right.
Which is seeing me nude. Anyway, I gave it a three. Because I had never seen it. Definitely, I have not seen this movie. I liked it more than that, but I didn't love it. I was charmed by people, but I was a little bored. I was staring at my phone when that seal came, which is maybe my bad, but I didn't clock what was going on there.
Gave it a whole point just for the seal.
Yeah,
so
I'm losing that. So I'm going to up it to four.
Nice.
I am charmed, but not that much.
Only so much.
But watch yourself, counselor.
That's right. Yes. Molly, you were last but not least. You gave it a five because you're swept up in enthusiasm.
I was swept up in enthusiasm. I really enjoyed this film. It was very fun. I enjoyed the characters very much. I think, left to my own devices, I might have landed at a four or four and a half. But
I feel like there's a however coming.
Mm-hmm.
There is a however.
Okay.
Our executive producer, Dearman, picked this movie out, and I am so charmed by the reasoning behind it, and the film itself is really lovely, and I had not seen it before, and I really had not seen it before, which is really gratifying to be correct about
that.
Oh,
sure.
So anyway, five.
Yay.
Uphill.
Wow.
Rating scale.
Five
uphill rating scale.
Up on the hills. Oh, you're
up on the hill.
Chicken to the top of the hill, Molly.
Have a chicken dinner.
Chicken dinner at the top of the hill, Molly.
Get yourself a chicken dinner over at the Upward Hills in Tullamore,
Oh, Liam Justice and I are hiking uphill to take our clothes off and enjoy a nice chicken dinner.
Oh, Liam Justice, will you join me on the Upward Hill this evening for a nude chicken dinner? Just you and me, the best of friends.
We're hanging braid off the cliffs of Tullamore. Tullamore.
Jesus.
Oh, look, it's a wee seal.
Oh, what's that in the air? It's the National Lotto helicopter. Oh, my God, they've armed the confetti cannons. Run, Liam Justice, run for your life. They'll collar your ass without thinking even a second thought about it.
Wow, Ireland sounds cool as hell.
That's right.
Just a bunch of nude dudes getting hit by confetti. Listen, he said it was accurate, so.
Yep. That's right.
This is what Ireland is.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.